God just gave him that song, and it just describes the fragrance and the mood of the hour that we're going to open up the Word of God and look at lessons and an inquiry about God's church. Turn by the police to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 6. Thank the youth choir for those wonderful songs and their adult choir and Sunday school class, those precious ladies. Everything's just been right on schedule. God never misses anything. He's always in the message, you know. When God gives me a message, he always lets me know when it's for. And sometimes during the experience this week, he'll change your mind. That's just because he, in my situation, he wants me to trust him. Because you study sometimes and you think you're on the right path. And you may be at the time, but I think he tries us and tests us to see if we've got enough faith to go and listen to him. But this morning, I'm 100% sure this is what God wants for us at this time. In the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, I want to look at the kind of the history of the church. Remember, Acts is a transitional book that goes from the crucifixion, ascension, and the Lord's soon coming. He anointed the church. And the Mount of Transfiguration. God is so good to us to allow us and show us all these truths. But now I want to look at the insights and the a lesson that God's church, we're going to learn much this morning from his word. In verse 1, chapter 6, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. We'll stop reading right there. Of course, there were five others, but we won't have time to cover them. I don't even know if we'll have time to cover the second one. But I want to look this morning at a lesson that God shows us in his precious word, how he directs the church. It's his church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we know when you have a church, you have people. And we know people. I am one. Thank God for what he's doing in our church. There was four precious souls that got saved. My youngest grandson was one of those. He, like many of us, made a profession of faith. And I did the same thing when I was 9 years old. And sometimes when the Holy Ghost is just drawing, we see and understand that that wasn't real. And thank God that I don't worry about young people making false professions, because God's still on the throne. He takes care of them. See, I don't know your heart, and the problem is we don't even know our own heart, but God does know our heart, and he will, at the right time, persuade and convict. And now we see a church that's full of people, and there's these problems start coming, and they go to the authorities. God established a church. He has someone in that he speaks to in the church. And these men, these apostles that were using the things of God and following his precepts, and God told them what to do. And when God tells you what to do, you have one choice. If you want to remain in the will of God, and that to follow directions. So their directions was that we cannot get involved in all these daily problems. You know what it would be like for a pastor, or God knows, to have individual preferences? Then that family gets mad, and he tries to preach next Sunday morning, and then they're looking at him and say, well, he preferred that family. God won't allow that to happen, so he chose deacons. So the man of God stands there and he just proclaims what thus saith the word of God. And I'm convinced the less a pastor knows about individual problems, the better off he is, because God knows, and God will give the pastor or the preacher the right message to preach, and they will never have an opportunity to say, he just said that because of this. Well, if I don't know this, then I'm not involved in that. And God allowed it and fixed it that way. Now, I want to look at four things this morning. First of all, let's look at this local church. God has a local church. Fletcher First Baptist is a local church. He has many local churches. He has one combined church of all believers. So we're going to look at those two this morning, how he administers his words and his precepts in the local church. First of all, after they were obedient, and after they were fully in tune with what thus saith God to the men that God chose to operate the church, look at verse 7. After they were obedient, the Bible says in verse 7, look at the riches of the blessings. The riches of the blessings when we follow God's plan and God's precept. If we don't follow it, expect no blessings. But now they're following. So when you follow God's will, and when a pastor in the church follows God's will, then the expected thing is blessings. God will always do his part. Verse 7, and the word of God increased. He will increase his word when the people are obedient to do what thus saith God, and God speaks to the pastor. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. The local church at Jerusalem is what we're talking about. This congregation have been multiplied, and they're still multiplied. I like multiplication. Math is my favorite subject other than the Bible, and you know the reason. It is a lot of reasons. You know, English language, it's confusing because who's right in it? You know, I remember as I was going to school, you write essays. And depending upon the teacher, whether or not they maybe like you or whatever, you get different grades. And you have different thoughts. But English is something like that. It varies according to our attitude, maybe. But math, 2 times 2 is 4, and forever shall be. And if you add 1 plus 2 is 3, you don't get anywhere fast. But when you multiply, 2 times 2 is 4, and 4 times 4 is 16, and on and on. God multiplied. He just didn't add. He multiplied greatly when they were obedient to the word of God. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. See, the priests that had been under the old way, and many of them, most of them did not accept the fact that Christ Jesus came. And he was the Son of God. But now God is multiplying the church, and the priests, many of them, are starting to believe in the one true God. And then verse 8, we're going to deal with Stephen. He's the first one mentioned that the people chose. Why did they choose him? Because he was full of faith and power. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. The Bible says, pick ye out men full of the Holy Ghost, men of good report. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you will be of good report, because that is something that happens. The Holy Ghost is directing you. If you're full of him, you're following him, and faith comes along. It's a package deal. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, now we're still in the flesh. I know we make mistakes. But see, these men were expected to rise above. They're supposed to be full of faith. And then God gives wisdom. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And God will give us wisdom if we were full of the Holy Ghost and we're full of faith. So the package deal, he's full of faith, he's full of wisdom, because God planted it in him. So if you're full of faith, you're full of wisdom, you're going to do what God expects you to do. We'll see, the people don't like it much. Look carefully now at the religious crowd, which is to besiege and betray. There's people involved in every situation and every walk of life. We're people. And none of us are perfect. But God uses his church to help us understand lessons from God's word. and examples from God's word will help us understand that God is in control of the local church. Look what happens in verse 9. After they are full of faith and God is increasing, he's multiplying, you say, boy, everything is all right in that church. Sounds pretty good. Only problem is you got people. And some of us people aren't always right all the time. Then there arose certain of the synagogues, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicily and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. They're disputing. The word in the Greek means they're questioning. We know what God says, but we just don't think that you ought to have the authority you've got. You see, God gave him and Philip and the other five some authority to go to the people when there was disputes and there was feelings that this family is treated differently in that family and all the other things that we people go through. And Stephen now, full of power and the Holy Ghost, God is letting him do wonders and miracles so they can see that God is with him, but they don't want to see it. And now these group of people that we have just seen, they're disputing the man of God who God has put in that position. And they're questioning it. When I first came to the Fletcher First Baptist Church, 29 and a third years ago, the first message God gave me on that Sunday morning after I'd been elected pastor was Jesus. He was going after the lost sheep. The 99 were safe in the fold, but Jesus is going out and find that one which was lost. And God allowed me and gave me this little lamb, and I carried it all through the old church over there, and it was bleating, you know, and God blessed that and anointed that. And I didn't plan what I said the last thing I said that morning, but I said at the close of the service, God did not send me to Fletcher First Baptist Church to run this church. I don't believe in dictators. And I don't believe in dictatorship, and I'm not running the church. But he did send me here to make sure you don't. Because these group of people that were disputing and questioning what God's authority was, see, it's going to undermine it. Today, in the modern language, we call that cliques. And I would assume this morning that many people that have joined our church have come here because they were in some situation, one time or other, when they were cliques or somebody or a dictator. Somebody was running the church and they just didn't go along with it, and you shouldn't, because God expects him to run the church. He is the head. And if we have anyone else except him run the church, and the pastor can't be a dictator. And if he is, then it doesn't fit the formula. And there are religious crowds that wants to besiege and betray. Let's look at the text together. Not only were they questioning and disputing, but the Bible says in verse 10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. See, God's on Stephen. He's full of Holy Ghost. He's full of power. He's full of wisdom. God's wisdom. And all the arguing they do is not going to get anywhere. It gets them farther from God. And then other people chip in. And this is the start of this disputing by this clique. But look what happens. The next chapter is full of what happens. Because Stephen, now full of the Holy Ghost, starts proclaiming and preaching what thus saith the Lord. Verse 11. Then the Sabine men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemously words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say, that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us. See, they are raising false witnesses. They'll do anything to be in charge. They don't want God to be in charge. They don't want the apostle to be in charge. And they certainly don't want Stephen to have the role that God gave him to do through the church, because they're trying to tear down. And they'll go to any means to do it. And you say, that's bad. Oh, but it gets worse. Oh, it gets much worse. Look now. But even though, regardless, number three, regardless of how people treat God's people and how people ridicule, God will always bear record that he is my anointed person. Look what happens in verse 15. Regardless of what people do, people's going to do what they do. They'll be held accountable of it. But regardless of what people say and do, they will know that God is in that person, that he is ordained, that he is right. Look what happens in verse 15. And all that set in the council. Remember, this council is built up of cliques. And now they have subpoenaed, they have brought in false witnesses that lie and say, this man did this. It's all lies. But one thing is for sure, as they sat in council, they looked steadfastly on him, and they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. They couldn't deny that. They were having false accusations. They were giving false testimony. They were going to destroy him at whatever cost. Why? Because they didn't get their way. They wanted to be in charge. This clique, they wanted to run the church. They don't want God to run it. They don't want God's people to run it. They're in charge. So they think. But one thing they knew, God's on this man. God, it looks as though his face is an angel. The peace, the joy. Remember what Jesus said, if we follow him, he'll give us joy beyond measure. He'll give us the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And now the whole next chapter, chapter 7, deals with the fact of him sitting in that council. They're lying on him. They're mistreating him. But he doesn't let up. He keeps proclaiming the word of God. Look what happens in verse 54, chapter 7. When they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They started out by questioning, by disputing, that you believe that God told you to do that. We question the authority that you have been given by God. But it leads now to their gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, that trait never went away. Full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost, he's going to do right. When you do right, other people will notice. Looked on him steadfastly. He looked up steadfast in the heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And when you're in team with God, God's look at you and other people can see your face. The glory of the Lord is upon that person. They may question it. They may try to get away from it. But they knew in their heart that God was with him. But the bottom line is, Jesus was with him. He looked up to heaven and he looked steadfastly. And now in verse 56, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of a city and stoned him. And the witnesses lay down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. David inquired the one that was getting the warrants to arrest and had him come in. And he was kind of overseeing the matter. And there Stephen was, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, God's man, being stoned to death. But regardless of what they said and did, look what happens in verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. The very last that wisdom he had in that filling with the Holy Ghost kept him from doing anything except giving God the glory. He didn't say, God, bring accusations. God takes care of him. He didn't have to cry out and say, Lord, destroy them. He knows he's in good hands, whatever God wills. But regardless of what they say and do, look at verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And all the crowd, including Saul, was witness to this man of God, regardless of what they said and did, and all the lies they told, they knew he was God's anointed by what he said and what he did. That should be your charge and mine. Regardless of what people say and regardless of what people do, let God take care of that. I do not lay awake at night, never have, Lord will and never will, and wonder, what I'm going to do. Why? I just give it to God. I learned that as a little boy. My father was a mountain man, 6'6". And I knew his daddy was around. I didn't have any worries what anybody did to me because I was just a little hack. And I said, hey, I don't have to worry about that. And God taught me that, hey, I'm just a little child. I'm one of God's least. But that's since I belong to him. He takes care of me. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? And we see Stephen, though he's been stoned to death. And this day and time, preachers aren't stoned to death by actual stone, but a lot of them are stoned to death and ridiculed and questioned. And that stoning, so to speak, with the words that people use will destroy their testimony. There again, God can handle that. And God will take care. And regardless of what men say and do, we'll know that God has chosen them. We will have time just a little bit to speak about Philip. Let's go back and read our text in Acts chapter 6. We've been looking at this local church at Jerusalem, how God used people and how people fought against it. But God's going to take care of all that. But now let's look at, second of all, at his church combined. See, this local church has got another mission. Not just a mission of preaching the gospel and getting that congregation in line, but God uses them to establish other churches. A missionary, a great endeavor. Let's look back at how he reaches others with the gospel. This church and our church is not just trying to reach our people here, but our charge is to reach the world. Is that not what Jesus said? Go out in the world and reach others. So now they're reaching others with the gospel. Acts chapter 6, verse 3 again. This is the charge to the local church. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip. Speak just a little bit about Philip. We're going to learn another lesson about Philip. Let's turn your Bibles on over to chapter 8. We see Philip in action now. We've seen Stephen. He stayed in that local church at Jerusalem. He tried to hold everything in order, and he stood against those that would try to question. He stood against the cliques, and he proclaimed God's word, and they all knew it and realized it. Even as they were stoning him to death, they saw the fragrance, they saw the sweetness, they saw him and cock, and heard the voices lay not to their charge. How do you think they felt? Condemned, but they kept on going. But let people do what they're going to do. But now let's look at Philip, how he's being used to go out and carry the message that Jesus told us to proclaim, to go out and reach the world. Chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. See, God allowed them to not only preach the word, but God showed the people that he has been selected. He has been anointed, and God allowed them to do miracles and see lost souls saved and see God do some healing. See, God puts his anointing on his people so others know. They may question, they may dispute, but in their hearts they'll know, and let God take care of all the other things. Bible says in verse 7, for unclean spirits cried with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. God is using him as a witness as he is proclaiming Christ, and the city of Samaria heard and witnessed this man that had been chosen, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, to do not only at Jerusalem, the local church, as Stephen was there, but now Philip, go out in the world and carry out the Great Commission. That's your charge and mine, not just here, but go out in the world and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will they all like it? No, but they'll witness and they'll understand. But look what happens now. We have the same truth again. Verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. Remember what happens? When we're true to the word of God, God blesses. God adds his blessings. And now God gives them joy throughout the city. Did everyone hear the word of God? No. But then we see, lastly, some people that had been converted, they start causing some problems. Remember, we're in a congregation and we're in a world of people. That's okay. And God will execute and God will perform and God will save and God will do his job, but we're still people. We make mistakes. Well, there was one Simon the sorcerer. And this particular, he had been sorcering. He had been making people think that he was God. That, see, the devil actually do that, trying to think that they're right. But now he started witnessing the real deal. And he saw people's life change. And the sorcerer, he saw now, Simon the sorcerer, he saw that this man, Philip, was preaching and proclaiming with results. And then he saw that people that were getting saved, all the sadness was replaced with joy, joy of the Lord. And he liked that. So he believed and he was baptized and he kept following Philip. He liked that. And that's okay. But see, he didn't like it for the right reason. He went about and he was wanting that power. He had had power as a sorcerer. He had the whole city believing that he was something. But see, when you get saved, you have to realize that you're nothing, that he's everything. He had trouble believing and accepting that, so he wanted that authority so he could lay hands on people and receive the Holy Ghost. So he even asked. But the problem for him was the church, the local church at Jerusalem, had heard about what God's doing in Samaria with this second one that was called to be a deacon, Philip. And they sent Peter and John down there to inquire, to help, maybe to make sure everything is A-OK with these new believers. And they spotted this Simon the sorcerer. And Peter heard what he said, I'll give you money. I'll give you anything you ask if you will give me that power. And Peter, under anointing of the Holy Ghost, said, thy money perish with thee. You'll have no part in this matter. See, if you have people, God has to do the choosing. I can't, nor am I expected to. You know, I have enough trouble taking care of myself, making sure that my testimony is right, that I have a atmosphere that I can live in and I can live a life pleasing before God. And that's about all I can do. I can proclaim the word of God. I can tell you what God wants, but that's the limit of what I can do. But now all these other things that come up, let God handle it. He's a big God. God can take care of every need that we have according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All we have to do is follow his precepts, his plan for the local church. God expects us to do our part. God expects us to be about his business, to go his way, to listen to his voice. And he says, my sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. I'm sure every one of us have tried, Satan has tried to despair us and tried to discourage us and tried to tell us a vain thing, but it falls on deaf ears. I remember back on the farm, I've told this before, we just had a few cows and every one of them had a bell. And my job in the morning was to go out and get those cows, wherever they were, the back 40 or the south 40, and to bring them in and milk them before I left the house at 6:15 in the morning to walk to catch a bus. And so I'd listen for those bells. Sometimes those lazy cows wouldn't do a thing and they wouldn't ring those bells. Then I was in trouble. But as long as they were shaking their head, those bells were ringing, I could head toward the sound. But in all the months and years that I did that, there was a distinct sound, this bell and that bell and that bell, music together. And one day as I was headed, I heard a strange sound. There was another bell ringing that had never been there before. That sound, it was awful. It sure didn't click with our little group of cows. And sure enough, a neighbor's cow across Sheep Mountain, back in the bluff where he had wandered 2 or 3 miles and joined their herd. And God taught me a lesson about that. There is this distinct sound. It's a right sound with things that's right. And when the devil comes in and tries to whisper in your ear or something, you know, it's a thud sound. And I say, Lord, thank you for that verse of scripture. My sheep hear my voice. A stranger they will not follow. There's no way I'm going to accept the fact that that was one of our cows. I've heard the sound too many times. So I went home and told Dad, Dad, there was a strange cow in there, Pastor. It wasn't my job to do anything about it. My job was to go on to school. So Dad took care of it during the day. See, when things arise and when problems come, not my job to do everything. Just tell the one authority about it. Daddy was the authority at my house. And all I had to do was tell him he'd take care of that problem. Next morning I went, it was that same good old sound again. But there's something about the sound of togetherness in the house of God. It produces worship. It produces praise. And God will bless that and honor that. And your job and my job is to make sure that that smooth sound, that glorious sound, everything that's done gives him. We sang the song this morning. Thank you for all the songs. Honor and glory to him. No flesh shall glory in his sight. And if they try, there's an awful thugging sound. And God will take care of it. I just turn it over to the authority. And God can handle it. Would you stand this morning, your head bowed? Insights and lessons from God. How he ordained and carries that worship in his church. The altar is open. Come to the piano over here and please play whatever God puts on your heart. Revival is continuing tomorrow night with Darren. We don't know how long. I didn't even know it was going to go on. The last thing I said up here on a Friday night, God said, ask him. I hadn't talked to him. Ask him if he can come back Monday night. I didn't even know my schedule. I was supposed to go to the eye doctor Monday morning and have another shot in my eye, and that's fine. And I will, Lord willing. But see, it's God's schedule. I have to arrange my schedule according to his schedule. And every one of us do. See, we got this plan in our life, what we're going to do, how we're going to act. It'd be a lot better if we just say, God, how do you want me to act? How do you want me to go? Get on his. So there'll be smooth sounds. And we can know that we have met to God, with God, and everything that we're doing and trying to do gives him honor and glory. And if any flesh tries to get glory out of it, there's an awful sound. God will handle it. God will take care of it. Whatever your needs are this morning, pray for a continuation of God's blessing and revival, if you will, please. All of you that will come and just say, God, help us, Lord. We need your touch. You know how blessed we are that God has met with us this week and is still with us and just sent this message this morning to let us know and understand that it is his church, that he is in charge, and that we must follow his precepts. We must go his way and not our own. Let's pray. Lord Jesus.